Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture, one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I want to say that I am really excited for the 88 Rising Festival. However, I'm really sad to be missing NCT Dream at KCON LA. Unfortunately, the two events happen on the same exact weekend. And
you already booked tickets for the other
one.
I'm a little heartbroken too. And but it's what? They're not going to be there as a full group, although I would pay a lot of money to see five of them.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's not a full concert. We're going to miss them, but
I was also thinking that if they do another KCON somewhere on the East Coast, don't normally the performers repeat throughout the different KCONs?
Sometimes, yeah.
So maybe Dream will...
Would you be down to do New York or Chicago?
I will do what I need to do to see Dream. Chicago already happened, so...
Oh, it did already happen.
So maybe New York is next, I don't know. But I'm...
We gotta keep our eyes peeled.
I'm down.
Okay. Also, Dream, full concert.
Yes.
We'll give you a day at SoFi, no problem. I'll contact them. So for at the episode today, we have our special SG unit, at least one of them. Gabe, did you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hello, everybody. I'm back. This is Gabe, one half of Idol Talk SG. It's been a hot minute since I've been on the podcast, and I am very excited to be back. And one thing, I don't know if this is mentioned before, if Casey said anything, but Dreamcatcher finally got their first win.
That is true. Congratulations.
After almost 2,000 days since debut, it's like the longest period since a first win in like years.
That's so really sad, but also...
I think ever. I think it's like ever for a girl group.
Probably the longest to a win, because usually maybe, you know, most of those groups just never get one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but then, like, you know, at least they got one is what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm saying that like at it's like the opposite of diminishing returns. Like as the days go past, like
they're bound.
The likelihood, yeah,
they're bound to get one.
So like they broke past like a very
the iron curtain.
They made it. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
And on top of that, they got a second win too.
They did.
Yeah, and they beat out DKZ, who is really popular because of that boy love drama that I just watched last week. I watched literally all 8 episodes in one night. It was great.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
In one night. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in to this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod and rate, review, and subscribe to us on all our major podcast directories and streaming platforms, including Spotify. If you have any feedback or any topics that you'd like us to cover, send us an email at idoltalkpod@gmail.com and also visit our content directory at our website, idoltalkpod.uwu.ai. Where you'll see previous episodes categorized, playlists. Actually, speaking of playlists, we have our summer K-pop playlist that Idol Talk curated that we would love to share with you. So we will repost that on our IG as well.
Yes, and in the description of this episode.
And in the description, send us all of your favorite summer bops that we might have forgotten to add, and we'll add them. My personal one for this summer so far is Beatbox, which I never got to talk about.
Yeah.
Which I'm devastated that I won't be able to see in August. But anyways, visit us there and let us know what you're listening to this summer. So for this episode, we wanted to actually cover a show that just finished not that long ago. It's called Queendom 2. We know that a lot of our listeners are also following the show. We're going to do... This is one of two episodes that we're going to do as a roundup of the show. So, Gabe, did you want to give the listeners just a little bit of an overview about what the show is about, how it's structured, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. So, for those of you who don't know, Queendom 2 is the second season of this show on Mnet called Queendom. It's basically a survival show for existing K-pop girl groups. There are 6 contestants, and the end of the show culminates in a finale where each group releases a single through Mnet, and they basically compete for the crown to see who's the queen. And then the winner gets a special comeback show broadcasted on Mnet and M2 for their next comeback. So if you win the show, let's say you come back a month later, Mnet's going to put together like a whole basically like comeback show slash mini concert for you on Mnet. So the season lasted for 10 weeks. There were 10 episodes. And then there were three preliminary performances with one live comeback stage at the end. And so there's a lot of different scoring criteria that went into this. Basically, each of the three preliminary performance rounds was, actually, no, the first two were 10,000 points. Third round was 20,000 points. And then there's like 5,000 points for music video views, performance views, fans' choice votes on the website. And they also calculated digital points from the streaming of the comeback singles that happen at the end of the show. And then there's also, I think, the biggest chunk, it's 30,000 points for live text voting during the finale episode. So overall, it's a really great show. You get tons of dynamic stages. You get some collabs that you would never expect to happen. You get covers. And you get a lot of variety content in between. So I really enjoyed it. I know it's also one of the
And this is kind of filmed films. In like a post-ish COVID world where they could really intermix, right? Which might have been a little different than the Kingdom that just happened, the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. They had a live audience and everything.
Live audience, right.
Yeah, they had global people kind of zoom in via teleconference to watch and vote live also. So it was really fun. Definitely more fun than Kingdom when they just had no audience for the whole time. So, yeah.
I mean, I have some opinions about that, but...
Well, okay, so let's talk about that because you had... So I remember Ashley had said, oh, like, it's really different because it does seem like a much larger stage, but something that could be technically produced by, like, someone going on a music show.
Right.
Right? And then I remember Gabe saying, like, well, that's largely due to COVID because all the COVID stuff was largely pre-recorded where this was, like, a live performance.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
So on Kingdom, they didn't have an audience, and so they just performed on a center stage. And the lack of audience gave them the ability to play with camera angles. And when you have a live audience, you only can have the camera angle in like in one direction, which is towards
in so many
yeah towards mm-hmm. the performer. And so there wasn't really as cool of camera angles, but I mean, I understand. It was whatever.
Having the live audience, I mean, definitely that's
for me as a watcher. I didn't give a shit about the live audience because I'm still consuming it in the same exact way as I was Kingdom. You know, I'm still watching it on TV. So I'm sure for the performers, it was great, but for me, I didn't care for the live audience.
I think it also might have been better for the live, like for the ratings too, because they were saying. I saw like some news clips or something that Queendom 2 outperformed Kingdom by like a lot. And that might
Yeah, because it generates buzz when people go there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You see like the line outside of the entertainment company to get into the studio to watch the thing. It's right. like a big deal, yeah.
Right, right. So Gabe, did you want to go over which groups were casted on this show?
Yes.
This season at least.
Yes, so in Queendom 2... I think a few weeks before the start of the show, they announced all of the groups that were participating. We have Brave Girls, Hyolyn, former Sistar member, Kepler, Luna, VVG, which is former GFriend members, and then WJSN. And so the criteria for kind of being invited onto Queendom was that you had to, it's not, I don't think it's a rule, but all of them have had a music show win, and that's kind of how they've been using the criteria in the past as well. So technically, these are all groups that have like some established popularity, but you know they're all coming in with
definitely
kind of, like,
ranges with yeah, how many they have.
Yeah, like some groups have like one or two wins, others have like 10, 12 wins. So.
Right.
Or like 30.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Okay, so those are the groups, right? Did the lineup surprise anyone? Were you expecting to see anyone on that list? What did we think of the lineup pre-performance?
Pre-performance? I'll comment on my misunderstanding of the lineup. So I'm a new K-pop stan as of like BTS Love Yourself era. So I didn't ever listen to Sistar. And the only Hyolyn that I know is the new Hyolyn, the like R&B Hyolyn. And so when I first saw
not like the pop star Hyolyn.
Not like
the It Girl.
Yeah, not the It Girl Hyolyn. And so when I first saw the lineup, I was like, oh, Hyolyn, like I love her R&B songs. Like she's not really that well known. I'm really happy that she's on this show because she's gonna get some like promotion and recognition for her songs. And then we'll get into it later, but her first performance, I was like, oh my.
And then she covered Touch My Body.
Yeah, like I was totally wrong about her. She's amazing.
So, I mean, but that is what it's kind of all about, is to kind of explore like these artists for people that don't know them, right? So that is somewhat of the point. I remember in like, kind of getting ahead of myself now, but in the first episode, right? I think, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Sinbi because she was firing the entire show, but I'm not completely sure if this was her. She basically says like, oh, someone came up to me and was like, oh, there's this new group called BBs, like, and she's like, yeah, that's us.
Or no, they're like, they look like the GFriend members.
Oh yeah, they look like the GFriend. She's like, and yeah, that's us.
Oh my God.
And like, it was kind of actually somber and sad, right? And we can get into that a little bit more later, but you know, it's discovery. Like a lot of the show is meant for discovery, right? Which is a good thing. I think for me, I was looking through the list of all the active girl groups when thinking about this question. And I narrowed it down. I was like, oh, maybe some of these groups would not have made the cut in terms of like popularity. Like I'm thinking like Cherry Bullet, Promise Nine, like maybe like just missed the cut for the show, but like, you know, maybe like I wouldn't be surprised if they would be on it.
Yeah.
But two kind of like really came to mind. And one of them maybe is a controversial pick, but I'm just going to say it. If they wanted to like really try to reignite their career again, I think A-Pink would not have been a bad choice for the show because they're like really popular, but they're historically popular. Like people don't, new fans don't really see them in the light anymore. So that one was like one of my first choices. And then the second that I was thinking about was everyone's fan favorite here, Dreamcatcher. Like I think that their stature like would have fit really perfectly kind of in the realm of that. I think they would definitely have been like the underdogs out of the six, but like I felt like they had room to still be discovered.
Yeah.
Right.
So those were kind of my two. And then my like also controversial pick is kind of like, I think ITZY has done a lot of stuff, but their last two releases I think have been like so-so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, there's media out there that says, like, oh, like, what's going on with them? I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't be caught dead there because they're so popular. But that could have been also a choice. Because Stray Kids went on.
Yeah.
The last
that's
one.
True.
So JYP goes on these shows. So
yeah. Stray Kids won pretty easily, too.
They did. Remember.
Yeah, and ITZY would have.
Yeah, ITZY would have probably just, like, killed everybody else. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Anyways, Gabe, I don't know what you thought about the lineup.
So, first of all, Kepler, like, they have zero discography coming into this show, and I feel like you need, like, some songs in your bank to, like, do well on Queendom, because you have to do, like, a cover, you have to do, like, the signature song, you have to do, like, the fan choice song, like...
And other people have to cover your songs, right? So if they get chosen, if they get Kepler, right, then they only have...
Two songs?
X number to go with, right? So I think it's kind of... Anyways, I have some thoughts about that, too.
Yeah. And so then the whole thing about how Mnet, like, they're like the daughters of Mnet, and that's the only reason why they got on. Like, part of me thinks that's kind of what happened. But I mean, they just came back like I think a few days ago, so we'll see how the popularity goes. But in terms of groups that I would want to see on it, definitely Dreamcatcher, because I feel like they have the discography. It's really extensive. They could probably do well. And I think they have like the skills too, because they can dance, they can sing pretty well.
Their stuff is like very theatrical too, so it's
Yeah.
very intriguing to the eye, and like a lot of groups can do a lot with that noise.
And then I also thought about Everglow, even though I'm an anti. Because Everglow really has appeal to like the Chinese audiences. So that could have been a boon for Mnet to be like, hey, we're gonna reach like more people that way. So those are kind of my two.
Well, we'll see for the season three, I guess. I think they're definitely going to do a season three at some point.
I'm sure.
I was also very intrigued about the MC choice. At least I don't know that much about the guy, but I was very pleased by the Taeyeon choice of the MC because she was also promoting INVU at that point. So that was like a killer choice. Okay. At least going in, who did you expect in the lineup? Who did you expect to kind of do really well, kind of exceed? And I'll leave that up on the floor.
So I was going into Queendom. I didn't have any expectations because I don't really know any of them. If I had to pick one, I think I would have picked Vivis because they were the only ones that I knew, and I know that they have like a proven track record, but that track record's with GFriend, so it was like I only know them from GFriend, so that's why I would have picked them. But yeah, I mean, prior to the show, I didn't even know who Hyolyn
But I mean, that's the thing. Like I was saying, I'm not trying, you shouldn't feel shame from that because I don't think a lot of new fans knew that she did come from one of the biggest K-pop groups in the 2010s, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying I didn't know, like, I don't know who Taeyeon is. Like, I didn't know she was the leader of Girls' Generation. I would equate
A
that.
little bit,
I mean, I know
yeah.
who Taeyeon is, obviously, but, like, yeah, it makes me feel like a bad K-pop stan for not knowing my history. You know what I
Well,
mean?
but now you do, so it's okay.
Okay.
How about you, Gabe?
So I thought Luna was gonna do really well because they have, I think, a really motivated, like they don't have a huge fan base, but they have a really motivated fan base. And that helps in these shows a lot, especially with like the streaming and the voting and everything. And they also have like really good dance skills. Like I know, didn't like an SM kind of like choreographer or producer comment on how Luna's like a really strong dance performance group.
They did a cover of Cherry Bomb, and that got them recognition from like Lee Soo-man.
Yeah, so I was like, okay,
Okay.
Luna has the dancing, they have like a pretty big discography. There's 12 members, like they can do a
Lot of
lot on a
members to go
stage.
around.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I think Luna has like just based on the like objective factors, I feel like Luna's probably set up to do well.
That makes sense. Okay, why don't we jump into the introduction stage, Gabe? Did you want to introduce what the groups covered, or what the groups performed on this first stage that they did?
So just some pretext. So there, before the competition started, they had like a like preview stage that they did, which was like a 30-second like just like dance stage they did. And then the winner of whoever got the most views and stuff got to, I think, choose the lineup for the first round of competition. But anyways, the first round of competition, they call it the representative song battle, so it's like the signature song of the groups. And so for these stages, Viviz did Time for the Moonlight and Rough. Hyolyn did Touch My Body. Kepler did Wadada. Brave Girls did a mashup of Chimat Baram and Rollin. WJSN did As You Wish. And then Luna did Paint the Town. So in this first kind of set of stages, I think all the groups went with either their most popular song or the song that gets them the most recognition or got the most recognition. So one that stood out for me at least was WJSN As You Wish, because every single New Year's they climb the charts with that song. Even though it's not their most, it's because it's like some like
wishing like first day of the year kind of thing.
It's like a good juju kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing like an article about that.
Yeah. So overall, expected. And then should we
wait? Start? So for you, Gabe, the stage that stood out to you the most in the representative song was Cosmic Girls.
That was just I thought that was the most interesting choice, but for me, I think Hyolyn's stage stood out the most.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. By like miles.
She killed it.
Yeah.
By herself. By herself. Well, and her 100 backup dancers. But she killed it as a solo artist.
Yeah, I remember texting the group after watching that performance, and I was like, holy shit. A, that's when I discovered that Hyolyn was from Sistar. And then,
because you listen to the song, but you don't know, like, when you stream.
Right. And so I watched that stage, and I was like, oh my god, she has visuals. She can sing. She could dance. Like, she's amazing. She's going to win the whole thing.
Didn't her heel break?
Yeah, it did.
Oh. Like, during the performance, and she's, before it started.
Yeah, she was.
And she's like, well, just going to do it still.
No, they changed out her shoe.
Oh, they did change out her shoe?
I thought they just glued it back on, right?
Oh, I don't know. Okay. But they repaired it.
Something happened.
Yeah, she discovered that there was a problem right before the performance, and then they fixed it, or they were, like, however they did, and then she went on with the performance.
The show must go on if you're a solo artist. I mean, like, also what's surprising is that the last time we had a solo artist, very different, right? Park Bom, very different than Hyolyn. And Hyolyn is, I think, I mean, in my opinion, I should really like Park Bom, but Hyolyn is just a better fit for the style of the show.
Yeah.
I really liked, she's just the summer queen. It was like winter, the depths of winter when this first performance came out. And I was like dancing. I was like, my favorite part was when actually before the show, you know, she arrives to the set and she's dragging along her own props. Right, because she's a single artist, and I was like, I stand this.
Yeah.
I stand someone that's humble, that's like, but that's the reason why she's there,
she
right?
So hard. Like, and I really enjoyed her pre video prior to the performance, because it showed her like doing the, even the, like, she was being very detailed with the whole performance. She was setting up what the background TVs were going to look like, what the lighting was going to look like. She recorded the song with just all her own vocals, because obviously, like, it was originally with
Sistar. There's now no four members. Yeah.
And she recorded it in her studio by herself. Like, she didn't have a producer behind her, like, helping her. She's talent. Mm-hmm. She's an all around like amazing.
She
artist.
Was really involved in that, in her own stage.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's usually not a given when it comes to K-pop.
Yeah.
And I think she also understood the assignment. You know, like, she definitely she must have watched Kingdom or like the first Queendom, because she kind of knew, like, that you had to use all the LED panels, you had to use, like, the different stage elements, like, the lifts and, like, the platforms and stuff. Because, like, her stage was, like, the most complete, I think, out of everybody in the first round. And it told, like, the whole thing was really cohesive, too, which I think was the difference.
Yeah. Well, how about you tell the listeners, Gabe, what you told me after I went on, like, a whole, like, loving spree about the performance. Do you remember?
I don't think I remember, no.
You texted back saying, Hyolyn really over-delivered.
Oh, yeah. In the best way, I thought. I think that also, like, what I enjoyed about her performance, and the one that I will shout out for myself, is that it was still it was a representative song, but it was also representative to like who she is and the type of K-pop idol she is.
Yeah.
For some of them, I felt like I didn't really get a sense of like who they were as the brand that I generally think of them. Uh-huh. So I really appreciated that about Hyolyn. Like, it was the it girl, right? So like before Hwasa, before whatever, right? She was it, right? I don't know who it is now. There's a lot of them, but Joy is it now.
The girl from IVE,
right? Like, but Hyolyn just had a different, right? She, you know, I think there are interviews out there of her talking about how, you know, she was more darker skinned, right? She's brown. Yeah. She's, you know, she's like different. She stands out, but she, like, you totally got a sense of who she was, like, from that performance. And I really liked it. Ashley, do you want to go with your favorite performance?
So my favorite performance was Touch My Body, but I had some other comments about the other performances. So I knew...
So should I go with my favorite first then?
Yeah, you should go with your favorite first.
Okay. So, you know, I don't know if this show is supposed to solidify who you really like or help you discover new artists. I think it's a little bit of both. But for me, it kind of solidified, like, who I liked and who I don't really follow.
Yeah.
So, obviously, like, one of my bias groups was GFriend. And I don't get to see them anymore, really, as a group. They're all active as of right now. So, it was good to see the three girls, like, want to still be K-pop active. And I thought that you can't get much more representative than Ruff and Time for the Moonlight. I really liked the girls wearing white, like very reminiscent of the brand that they tried to put out for themselves, like pure, talented, wanting to be those good people of K-pop. And I kind of liked that they really incorporated like the royalty aspect in a very humble way. So, like, a lot of crowns were very featured in their stage. Eunha had her short hair again, which was reminiscent of a lot of her, not, like, close to debut days, but early on in her career, she had really short hair, and she's kind of, like, and it ended up growing throughout her career, and now, she chopped it off again and is starting fresh, right? And it was really apparent that they wanted to use this opportunity to show themselves to the world again, right, after being... Oh, I don't know what happened, and we won't go there. But there were some like feelings that I had about what happened to the group. But I thought their cover was really good, and they even said like they never knew if they would be able to perform Ruff or Time for the Moonlight ever again, right? So they were using kind of like this opportunity for themselves. Yeah. I saw some comments through like, I can't remember what source it was. People were questioning, like, oh, why would they go for this as their representative song? It's, like, too emotional. It's not upbeat. It's, like, this, like, you're totally wrong. Like, that person who wrote that was, like, totally wrong because this exactly was kind of, like, what they were about and why people fell in love with them to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? So, for me, I went on, like, a GFriend spree, like, for 2 weeks after I saw that. Aww. I was, like... I missed them. Anyways, I thought that was a really good
performance.
And some of the audience members were, like, crying.
Yeah.
And some of the girls were crying.
Yeah, the other contestants, as they were watching, some of them were crying, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, inside, I was crying, but it was more like... Because I was never really a big GFriend stan, but my sadness came from knowing that they still wanted to perform as GFriend. But they couldn't.
They even called their leader during the first episode.
It's just sad.
It's just sad. I completely agree.
It was well done though.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I will say it was a well done stage. It like hit all the marks. It was representative.
Sharp choreography as what they're known for.
Yep.
Strong vocals, even with just the three of them. Sinbi is a highlight because she Now everyone knows about her feisty personality.
Yes, they do. They do.
Not to F with her. Eunji has just blossomed into a beautiful woman. Anyways, okay. Ashley, go ahead and give your thoughts on some of the other performances this round.
So, I think this is going to get a little bit spicy.
That's okay. We like spicy.
Trigger warning.
My thoughts on the Brave Girl performance first was, why did they perform two of their best songs on the first episode? I feel like that was, maybe they could have split it up, you know?
Like they gave it away too quick?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And maybe, I don't know, like Roland felt like a finale song to me. And so maybe they could have saved that for a later performance. I don't know. I just felt like they were just giving everything up front. And then like, we don't know anything else about them. So, or like, we don't have anything left to want to expect from them. So I was like, why did they do that? But whatever. Anyway. Next, I thought...
Gabe, do you have a rebuttal?
Sort of, in a sense. So, Chimak Baram, I think, was a good song to lead off with. But I think they just executed the concept, like, totally wrong. Like, they should have gone more of, like... They should have stuck to the original tropical concept. Yeah, tropical, summer, feel-good... like song. Because
I agree.
That would have resonated a lot better, I think. But their like soldier concept just didn't really work.
Yeah, it didn't.
So I have a comment about that. I wrote, wish that they had actually led in with Roland, because it sounded like an afterthought. Like Roland was like it was like a minute.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't much, right? And that's like, that's the thing that put them back on the map. Like they were extinct. Like, rose from the ground. So, I was trying to understand the soldier concept. But then I was like, well, maybe it was because the military men, right, were the ones that really resurrected them again. But it was also not the same soldier concept.
It was not.
It was a very different soldier concept than the military men that were cheering for them that got them back on the map. So I thought there was some, they have really strong vocals also, but sometimes it gets a little pitchy, I think. So it actually made it a little bit difficult to watch again.
It also that performance also showed how, I don't want to be mean, but like weak they are in comparison to the other groups.
In terms of
dancing and singing, but maybe because there's only like four of them, they're just small. I think they performed after or maybe before Hyolyn, and so anything after that was like
tough crowd.
Yeah. It was like bad.
Hyolyn performed second, and then everybody else. It was Kepler, Brave Girls, WJSN, and Luna after.
Yeah, I think that's what tainted my view of Brave Girls, because I saw Hyolyn and I was like, she's so good, everyone else is not as good.
That's fair. I think with the dancing, you gotta remember, like, Brave Girls is like an old group, right? And I'm not saying that the older groups can't dance as well. But, I mean, really, the dancing in K-pop has really stepped up.
Yes.
The training is different, definitely.
Yes. And the number of members really matters, too, right? They're not going to be a dance crew here versus Luna has, like, 12 members where they can do so much with themselves and all of that. Which is why, like, I felt like, also same as Gabe, like, they should have just, like, went in with, like, why people fell in love with them in the first place, or what they were known for at the time of filming, which was like summer bop, like queens, right? Any other thoughts on any of the performances?
I wanted to say something about Kepler.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So
sure.
K Kepler, so first of all, they were pigeonholed into us doing Wadada because they only have two songs, and yeah. This was their only title track.
Right, so it's representative.
So it is representative, but, you know, the state, like, coming from an Mnet company, I feel like they should have, like, the know-how to put together a really, like, good Queendom stage, right? Because, like, there must be people behind the scenes who, like, know how to do this stuff well. But I'm just, it just didn't really come together for Kepler because, like, their props looked kind of cheap. Like, the dancing was a little bit, like, off, and their formations didn't look that good. They didn't have backup dancers, I don't think. And their LED panels were also really distracting. So for me, I was super underwhelmed by Kepler and their whole race car concept. And I was like, you know, even though you're, like, even if you... Like, I don't know if Mnet maybe wanted to make them look bad, so they didn't get the whole blowback about being daughters of Mnet, but I feel like if you are daughters of Mnet, you should just lean into that. Like, that is representative of who you are, so you need to, like, come with all of the resources that it provides you. So, definitely.
So, with the race car, I want to comment on the race car concept. Like, I barely knew that it was a race car concept until they started playing with their black and white flags.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's the race, like, that's the finish line or what, you know, whatever they use for that. And something that I do feel the same way about, I wasn't, like, terribly impressed by that stage, but I think what made it, what compounded those feelings for me was that they were wearing the exact same colors as Luna, like black and red, right? And I mean, the Luna outfits were just, for me, like 10 times better.
Yeah, so much.
Because who doesn't love a hip, traditional
concept
outfit? Yeah, concept. Like, I loved that concept that Luna did. But because they almost looked so similar, I didn't really make much of Kepler's.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen black and red all the time. Like, also, why are groups always doing black and red? Because for me, that just always symbolizes red velvet, because that's the color, like, that's their two mixing colors, right?
Yeah.
So, if you're gonna do black and red, it's, everyone does it, first of all. So, it's gonna have to be really special to remember. So, I just remember the Luna one standing out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But
my last comment about the first round is that aside from Hyolyn, everyone was very underwhelming. And I think it's because of the way that they set up their stages. So, for example, in Kingdom, each performance had, like, a theatrical component to it. There was a storyline, and I found, especially in the first performance and in, like, pretty much all Queendom performances, that storyline was, like, really lacking from every single performance. And that's why I told you guys, like, in the group chat, that it just feels like a big Mnet stage, you know? Like, yeah, it is impressive, it's a good performance, but, like, where is the story? And, like, I don't feel captured enough. But, like, there's cool things happening, but that's not enough for me anymore. Maybe because I'm, like, I saw Kingdom and I was really impressed by that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that is correlated with the in-person versus virtual pre-recording. Mm-hmm. I think that you can just do so much more pre-recorded that takes more work. Right, on the artist part and the editing part, that might not be as possible with an in-person filming of it.
Yeah, I think I was just, I didn't like the
format. But that is what happened in the previous season that you watched.
Right.
With Kingdom. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, shall we move on to the second round of stages?
Oh, wait,
okay.
We should mention the ranking that happened.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, go ahead.
So, at the end of round one, the ranking was first place Hyolyn, and then WJSN, BV's, Kepler, Brave Girls. And then Luna, they all got COVID, so they couldn't actually perform live for their stage, so they got 0 points and were automatically last.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in terms of ranking,
girls, I guess that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I feel like the ranking pretty much was self-explanatory this time around. Like, Hyolyn just blew everybody out of the water, pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, it's why they had her close out the first episode, right?
No, she performed second. Yeah.
I know, but didn't they only do, like, two performances that episode? Didn't she go last?
Oh, right. Because they split up the first round into two episodes. I see. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Like, they wanted those rankings. I mean, they wanted those ratings to, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Okay. So, rankings-wise, Brave Girls, you know, maybe a little disappointed there. But we'll see what happens. Okay, let's move on to the second round of stages, and then we're going to take a pause for the second episode of coverage. So, Gabe, did you want to tell us what the concept was for that stage and what each group performed?
Yeah, so for round two, the concept was a cover song battle. And how it worked was, at the end of the ranking for round one, the winner got to pick first which group they would cover. So Hyolyn picked Luna, and then WJSN picked Vivi's, and then Kepler and Brave Girls were left with each other. And so then, in order of performance, we have WJSN, who covered Navilera by GFriend, Luna, who covered Shake It by Sistar, Brave Girls, who covered Mask by Kepler, Vivi's, who covered Unnatural by WJSN, Kepler covered Pool Party / Roland by Brave Girls, and then Hyolyn covered So What by Luna. So for me, I think my favorite stage of the six, I mean, my heart says Brave Girls, but my head says Hyolyn. Just because, like, she executed that So What cover so perfectly. She had, like, a ring thing that she was, like, hanging from and doing acrobatic stuff with. And then she had, like, sparklers and, like, fire and everything. And she was just, the whole Catwoman concept was just, it blew everyone out of the park again.
I wrote that she is a born performer. I really liked the Catwoman concept for her specifically, because it was giving me, like, very strong female It Girl vibes, which she is.
Yeah.
And I thought she killed it, too.
Yeah. So my qualms with the first episode, lack of, like, storytelling, was really fixed in the second round by Luna and and Brave Girls. I thought those two performances were the best performances. I mean, obviously, Hyolyn, whatever, but, like, she was really good. But Luna was my number one, and then Brave Girls. So Luna had, they performed Shake It by Sistar, and they had, like, a Broadway musical concept where they took one girl, like, they were split, the group was split in half. There was, like, nerdy girls and, like, cool girls, and the cool girls were trying to make, like, the nerdy girls cool, and then at the end, everyone was cool. And I thought it was a really cute concept. I mean, they, like, it just showed that first Luna could do a lot more than their hit songs, because their hit songs are, like, all pretty intense concept, and this performance was, like, really cutesy, and they were really good at it. So
yeah, and they had to do a lot of acting too, like the facial expressions and, like,
all
kind of, like the outfit changes too. So I loved it.
And
I liked that one.
Brave Girls, I know they got last place in the first round, and they really, really improved in the second round, because they had, their concept was, like, bank heist. And my first thought when they said they were going to do bank heist was, like, okay, you're going to do a play. You're going to do a play on the boys from, like, Road to Kingdom, you know, like that. That was, like, an amazing performance, and you're just going to fucking copy it. Whatever. I mean, like, it ended up being really good. Theirs was more like a bank heist / magic. And so
this was the black and white performance, right?
Yeah, for Brave Girls, okay. When they covered Mask by Kepler. It was like a magician bank heist. Like, they were using magic to steal stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I think the Brave Girls stage definitely, like, when they, so, okay, spoiler alert, they got last place again in round two. But okay. I really don't think they deserved last place, because they did really well with that stage. Like, there was a story, you could follow the story, and, like, they really leaned into what they were good at, too. Like, they knew they know they can't really dance that well. So they strayed away from trying to, like, do too much dancing, right? And the concept was just
coaching. I mean, they could dance. They're fun.
I mean, they could dance, but not as well.
Yeah. So their whole concept was just so much more cohesive, and I think that's what made it better for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in them getting the last place ranking, because they didn't deserve it.
And then I also listened to the original song by Kepler, Mask, and the Brave Girls The Brave Girls rearrangement is like 10 times better than the original.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, for me, we've already kind of talked about some of the highlights. I will get, I guess, a little bit into the weeds here and say that WJSN's cover of Novilera, for me, did not do it.
It was bad.
It was
not good.
Hard to watch. Like, I watched it when it came out the first time. I was like, oh, they're doing Novilera. Like, that is a very classic G-Friend song. Like, they are just skating with their t-shirts and their shorts, like, very simple, really good choreo. And then I see, like, a orb. They're all wearing black. And I was like, okay, what is this? I wrote, too much of a concept change. Just did not match the original. And I know that that's not the point, is to match the original. But I think there is, like, a standard deviation where you got a little bit too far off the edge there. And I just did not like the switch up. I thought the electric breakdown was like, was what would Unfiltered Sinbi say about that? Soan, God bless her soul, was probably like rolling in her grave, just being like, holy crap, what's going on here? And then I also wrote, like, I didn't really, like, it was mainly, like, Yeonjung at all. Like, she was singing, like, the entire song.
Well, because it's a very hard song.
Yeah, it's a very vocally stressful song, right? So I was like, oh, I didn't get to see, like, any of the other members really stand out. So unfortunately, that was, for me, the big miss.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys thought about that one, but I was cringing throughout the whole thing.
I agree that was not very good, but I have a different miss.
Oh, what's your miss?
Oh, wait, can I comment on this WJSN stage?
Yes.
Oh, you have another separate miss. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, Novilera, like, I went back and watched the original music video just to remind myself of, like, the thing. I was like, huh?
I know! Like, what did you do to that song?
The whole thing just didn't work, and I feel like they tried, like, Novilera is a good song, and I just think they didn't, like, if you're gonna cover a song, you have to do it just, like, you don't have to do exactly the same arrangement or the same concept, but you have to, like, do the original justice.
Pay homage to it.
Pay homage to the original, and they just didn't do that at all. And I think the dark concept, and, like, if they wanted to do Dark Concept, there are other G-Friend songs they could have done. Like Apple.
Could have done Apple?
Yeah.
Not that I like Apple. Not that I like Apple. Or that I'm condoning Apple.
But see,
Apple.
That's the thing. Like, when people think of G-Friend, they think bright and, like, happy, good-feeling music. So even when Apple hit, for them, we were kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, but they could have tried it. And they could have gone with the really dark concept there. But it was a miss for me. Anyways, Ashley, go ahead.
So the miss for me was actually the Vivi's stage of Unnatural by WJSN. I just thought that the like Latin tango concept didn't go well with the track. I mean, I mean I'm here for a good storytelling like performance, but and I did enjoy like the visuals, but the Latin on the track was just not good.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I think it's just
as Jeep Run biased. I mean, yeah, it wasn't great for me.
Yeah, it just didn't. It like wasn't congruent with the original song or like the concept of the original. I think they could have taken it in like a different direction, but yeah. Can I talk about my miss now?
Yes.
So my miss, unsurprisingly, this might be a theme throughout the entire two episodes, is Kepler.
Oh, yes.
Kepler. So as Kepler was looking through the Brave Girls discography, they're like, okay, Brave Girls does like a more mature sound. Like there's not a lot of stuff we can do with that because like we're really young and it's going to be hard, right? And so I was like, okay, that's like fair. So they ended up choosing Pool Party and mashing it up with Roland, which I think the arrangement was just so, like, someone, I forget who had the idea. I think it might have been Huning Bahie, who was like, oh, like, if you sing Roland on top of the chorus of Pool Party, doesn't it sound, like, so good? And then everybody,
it sounded a little bit chaotic.
Everybody yes. in the group was like, oh my god, yeah, like, it sounds great. And then I'm sitting here just like, it does not sound good at all. So firstly, so the bad. Arrangement. Yeah, the arrangement just like was a total miss. They should have just stuck to Pool Party without incorporating Roland.
And they also changed the note that Roland goes up to.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt like, okay, you can change things, but you cannot fundamentally alter like every 3 seconds when they say Roland. Like that seems like a little bit yeah. of an overreach.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
It's bad.
In addition to the arrangement, I will say Kepler's kind of like pool and bubbles concept really backfired on the execution of the stage. Like they had bubbles coming down like throughout the entire thing, which is like cute, you know, in theory. But then in practice, like you have these soap bubbles popping on the ground. And, like, these dance stages are pretty slippery to begin with. So, like, they were complaining afterwards. They're like, oh, my God, the stage is, like, so slippery. And, like, I think one girl fell off of the stage into the audience.
Right.
And then they were all crying about it. And I was like, okay, first of all, how could you not anticipate that this was going to happen?
Yeah.
And second of all, how could you not get last place by messing up so badly?
I know.
So that was my qualm with round two. Kepler was just a big miss all around.
Yeah. Yeah. There were so many misses, and then the rankings like didn't reflect that. Like you said, this is not good.
We are going to talk about the scoring at the end of the second episode, but at this point I will ask if there are any closing thoughts before we close out, before we stop this first half.
Oh, so for
shall we?
For info, the ranking of at round two.
Oh yeah, let's tell them the full rankings.
Yes. So Hyolyn got first again, and then it was Luna, then WJSN, then Viviz, then Kepler, and then Brave Girls. And so preview kind of the next episode leading into a little bit. Since Brave Girls got sixth place this time, if they get sixth place in the next round, then they get eliminated from the show. Because you have
so
to
mean.
The rule is if you get sixth place twice in a row, then you're out. So
no, three times in a row.
No, it's just twice.
Because they they
got fifth right.
twice in a row after the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they got fifth in the first round because Luna had COVID.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you said.
Oh, right. I see. I forgot about that. Kind of got off.
I know they got off.
Yeah. By technicality. okay. All right. So that is a preview. So in the next episode, what we'll do is go over the last two stages. And then we'll just give our final thoughts. So stay tuned for that. Let us know what you think about what you thought about the first couple of stages of Queendom and what you liked. And maybe your spicy takes too, because we love that here. But okay, thank you, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.